Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. We ask you that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we may be able to hear with our ear, receive it with our heart, and see it fruitful in our lives. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for you send it, Lord, for a purpose. And we believe that the purpose is going to be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So we've been looking at some of the impact of being born again. Essentially, that's the whole thing that we are dealing. But there is more than just a little bit there. There is an unbelievable amount of truth that we had to come to grasp with. And we had to come to realize. You know, many people think that they are saved, but they're really only convicted sinners. Because they keep going trying to do the right thing to be accepted by God. To really be saved, you had to do two things. You know, you had to have, number one, have your sin covered by the blood. Number two, you had to make Jesus your Lord. You know, if there is only one, the other one is not, you know, one is not enough. See, you can be, you know, the Jews had to do sacrifices all the time to be accepted and kill all the animals. You know, it's very similar to what lots of believers do today about trying to live up to the standards, when instead, you know, it's not a question of living up to the standards, it's the fact that we are changed. That we don't want to do those things anymore. And so we can walk in freedom and in liberty, not bondage. Otherwise, it's just religion. And so when we start really becoming born again, because that's what it means. When we start to become born again, really, we are sons of God. We are created new creature, but we become actually his children. And the implication of that means, you know, we just, you know, this is not just a word just to say something that is religious. You know, it's a reality that takes place in our life. Okay, there is, you know, a new, we have a new life inside us. The old stuff is gone. And there are new things coming into us. Hallelujah. You know, this, you know, the fact that we should stop looking at things in the flesh and we start looking at things in the spirit. And we had to look ourselves in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to show us what he has given us so that we can make it active inside us, that we can express it, that we can manifest it. But if we don't know what we got, how can we get it? If we don't know that our sins are forgiven, you know, we can go and, you know about Jesus, and maybe you haven't even read the Bible, but we can still go around feeling guilty, when instead there is no condemnation in those who walk in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So there has to be, you see, there has to be evidences in the way we act, the way we feel, the way we everything about, the way we see ourselves. And so that's, you know, that's the beginning of really realizing, going to the Word and realizing everything that Jesus provided for us. Make it not just a scripture, but make it a reality in our life. Make it in such a way that it becomes our experience. If it says no condemnation, it's not that we go around and when somebody tells us, you know, well, you're doing something is wrong, I say, well, you know, don't tell me that, you know, you're putting condemnation on me. Well, maybe if you don't do it, nobody will put it on you. Hello? It doesn't take much to figure out. If what somebody says condemn, make you feel condemned, that means, you know, there is a reason why you feel condemned. Otherwise, it will just go over you. Okay? So, and that, they're going to happen. I mean, you can do the right thing. I mean, they said things to Jesus that he was doing things wrong. Certainly didn't make him feel condemned, did he? So it's not what people say. It's what your conscience tells you. Amen? So this is the thing that we had to realize, that we had to realize that when God does something, you know, there are results. There are changes. And there is a different, you know, you become different, period. You see yourself differently, you act differently, you think differently, and maybe that there is a process of actually expanding the difference. Because at the beginning, you may just see the little bit, but there is so much there that we can hardly scratch the surface yet. Because if we would really find out what it is, there would be a different manifestation in us. If we would really appropriate everything that Jesus did, we'll be like him. Because that's what God's plan was. See, it's not something that is there for the theologians or the theological books. What he did is for people's life, to transform them, to empower them, to enable them to live a life of victory over everything. You'll see some scripture that are really, you know, they make your hair stand up. Just, you know, a reaction. Because I never thought that was the case. So we're going to just read some scripture today. You know, remember, we had to start looking at things from the spiritual point of view and the spirit, not the physical. We had to look at ourselves that way. And we had to look at others that way, because this is what 2 Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 5, verse 16 says. You know, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. No one includes ourselves. Okay, so we had to learn to do that. People that are critical about everybody and everything is that they just look at what they are doing. God doesn't look at people that way. Otherwise, I would have given up on us for a very long time. Thank God. Amen? So he looks at us in the way for what he put inside us and the potential that we have. Hallelujah. We are his ambassadors on this world. And so one of the things we had to do is to start acting the way he acts. See, that's the thing we had to learn to do. We had to start thinking, you know, how God sees these things. And how should we act in the way he would act? What would Jesus do? Once, you know, it was the people who were saying that. You know, what would Jesus do? Well, you know, you can implement that only to the degree that you understand where Jesus was. All right. Otherwise, you know, you go around with long hair and a beard and you go with the sandals. And that doesn't do it. Okay? But some people are like that. You know, they think they have to look like him. I don't know. So, let me say, what we have to understand is this is what's predicted even in the Old Testament. There were some prophets, especially some that explained this better than others. And if we read some of the scripture of the Old Testament, help us to connect. And, you know, always the Old Testament, you have to take it with gloves because, you know, some of the things are expressed in ways that apply to the Jews, not as well as us. But they also, you know, reveal something so that we can understand how we got where we got. Okay. So in Ezekiel, for example, Ezekiel was one that the real revelation about this born-again experience. And express it possibly in the best way possible in the Old Testament. I'm reading to you, for example, Ezekiel chapter, and there are not just one scripture in it, you know, there are three or four scriptures in his book, in the book of Ezekiel, is talking about that, but I'm going to read 36, Ezekiel 36, 26. It says, I give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. You see, I mean, that seems to me says the whole thing. Okay? The fact that it's not a spirit that we have, it's a new spirit that he's going to put inside. And it's going to be a new heart. A new heart involves, you know, the way we feel about things, the way our emotions are, the way we you know, our position, really, with respect to God and other people. There is the love, the compassion, the caring, the especially caring about God. See, because the world doesn't care about God. But we, when we put the new heart, the spirit inside us, we start loving God the way the Old Testament asked, but you really cannot do that in the flesh. Hallelujah. Let me continue the scripture here, because that says a lot to you. And I will, you know, I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. So, I mean, that sounds funny. Because, you know, it takes it out of your flesh and put it in the heart of flesh, and this is the same thing. It's not. You see, he's saying, you know, that I'm going to put the heart that is hard and put one soft and different, open, able to connect with God and with others. And says, you know, and then it doesn't stop there. You know, he goes a step further. And that gets pretty exciting because that really reflects what Jesus did. Because I had to come to Jesus. You know, the first one really said fully the same thing was Jesus. Okay. And I will put my spirit within you. It's not just a new spirit. I will put my spirit within you. Hallelujah. I mean, the Spirit of God inside us and cause you to walk in my statutes. So you see, how do you end up doing the right thing? It's not because you know all the rules and the regulation that the Jews had to follow. It's because he put his spirit inside you that is going to cause you, that is going to direct you, is going to empower you to do the things that he wants you to do. So he's going to come not from the outside or the things that are imposed on you, he's going to come from the inside. And when we start understanding that, we start cooperating and trusting what is going on in the inside as we love God. You see, it's the love of God that is manifested in our mind, in our heart. And when that love of God is manifested in our heart, then our heart receives from us the Spirit of God that is inside us, because it's open to that communication, and the Spirit of God can communicate to us and cause us to do the right thing. Are you following me? You see, it's so that we end up walking. You see, walking in the Spirit is not something weird. It's not something out of this world. And I'm going to show it to you even with the scripture in the New Testament. Every believer that is really connected with God should walk in the Spirit all the time. It doesn't need to be there having goosebumps or having any big, you know, revelation of God or hearing a voice. The voice comes from the inside. And everybody should have it if you are born again. And if you don't have it, it's because you are shutting it down. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, here. Cause you to walk in my statue, and you will keep my judgment and do them. I mean, more clear than this, I don't know, it's almost clearer than the New Testament. Wouldn't you say? I mean, that was a great revelation that this prophet had. I mean, he said everything that we need to know. Now, we, as believers, you know, as New Testament believers, we should experience this that was, pronounced prophetically years before. I think that is exciting. I think that reveals to us something important. You know, it doesn't stop there. There were so many different prophecies about the way that the Holy Spirit would work inside us. And really, once the Spirit came on us, or actually came down, because Jesus sent it and the believers received it, the first things that happened is that he didn't go through, Peter was somebody that was not too well educated. All right? He was a fisherman. He wasn't going through the school of the Pharisees and everything else that they, he was doing all the five books of the Bible by heart and everything else. I mean, they were spending lots of time in the Word. What did he do to them? Zero. Jesus came, and they rejected him. So that wasn't, the memorization wasn't the story, was it? I mean, Peter wasn't perfect either. Yet, when the Spirit came on him, and when that transformation took place, it didn't take much for him to come out and preach and get 3,000 people saved. Because the power of God was working in him, and so the things that Jesus had expressed that before he probably didn't understand very well was evident, because when Jesus died, everybody ran away and didn't know what they were doing. It was up here. But when it passed down to their heart, then everything changed. And they start be able to express what they actually received. And here, in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, he start preaching to the people and explaining what's going on and explaining the fact that they were speaking in tongues. And people said, these people are drunk. You see, that's the reaction of looking at people in the flesh. I mean, they were having a glorious time. The power of God was on them and they were just praising God in whatever language. Unlimited. You see, when you speak in tongues, you're not limited by your word and your thinking. It's God speaking through you. It's that spirit inside that comes out and gets taking over your tongue as you healed it. You see, you have a part to play. You cooperate with it. This is the thing that we had to do. See, that's the thing we had to do for anything, not just for speaking in tongues. As we walk, the Spirit inside us is going to guide us and make us go the direction He wants to do if we are there with the right attitude and the right spirit toward God, because it's the Spirit of God that causes us to do the things He wants us to do. We don't need a supernatural revelation. We don't need to see a writing on the wall. We don't need to hear voices or see a vision. We need to have the Word inside us, and the Word inside us is going to guide us to do the things that God wants us to do. Some people are there waiting and waiting and waiting to have confirmation and so other confirmation, when the only thing they need to have is what the Word says. Is it settled? Is something that is more sure, Peter said, than the prophecy of the Bible? I mean, the prophecy that we get, sorry. What the Bible says is more sure than the prophecies that we get or the other supernatural event that we go through. Amen? So here it says, and it shall come to pass, Acts 2:17, that in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit in all flesh, on all flesh. You know, it's interesting I mean, there are other scriptures that says this, you know, this is taken from Joel chapter 2, verse 22. You know, well, the thing is, it's interesting that this, what the way Peter said it, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, was a bit different from what Joel said. Joel said, you know, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. You read instead Acts, and Peter said, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And if you read the Greek, this use the word ek and then push, you know, push out. So really, the implication, it is not coming down like that, the way it was for the Old Testament. But it's pulling out from the inside. That's the meaning, the inclination of the Greek sentence there. So it's going to come from inside unto all flesh. So, you know, when the Spirit is received in the old, by people are born again, the Spirit is going to come out of them, and this is what going to produce and is going to affect and influence the flesh, so that the flesh is going to do the things that God wants. I thought that was an interesting thing. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dreams. And my manservant and maidservant, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So he's talking about a specific, you know, thing that was referring to the scripture, and it was they were speaking in tongues, they were talking to God and prophesying about. Prophesizing means nothing else than speak forward for God. Praise the Lord. So what I'm telling you is that inside us is being put the Spirit of God that Spirit wants to influence us and cause us to do the things that God wants us to do. And the only thing we have to do is to connect with that Spirit inside us, and we are going to do the right thing. But we have to have received. I mean, we have to be really born again. You know, Jesus is not going to have just, you know, flushed out our sins. He must have also affected us, and we have to accept Him as Lord. That means, you know, we are going to do, He's our boss. He's the one that guides us, and we are working with Him, and He's directing us. He's causing us to do the things because His Spirit is inside us. It is our desire to follow His direction. And really the best way to do that, and you know, when He was down here, how did He do it? You know, people... funny ideas, but he said, you know, I only do what I see my Father doing. Do you think that he was going around and God was giving him vision all the time of what was going to happen so that he would do it? Well, lots of people believe that, and they teach that, and that's a lie. He was the Word made flesh. That was the way it was happening. He didn't need that. Sometime it would happen, but that's the exception. It's not the rule. He wasn't waiting for that. He said he went around doing good. He went around. It means, you know, he was just fooling around, going, taking a trip, or going, walking around the street and whatever. It was no plan whatsoever. He was going around, that's the word, doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Anybody that will meet on the way. He wasn't there saying, oh, you know, this guy is sick. Oh, Lord, do you have to kill him? What do I have to do? I'm Father. You had to know. Everyone was healed. Sinner, no sinners, Jews, even not Jews, even if it was sent for Jews, and sometimes he was making a bit of a story just to pull them out. Are you following me? See, if he worked that way, I mean, the typical example, he didn't know. You know, he was just going by what the Word says inside him. You know, what about the woman with the issue of blood? He touched and got healed, and he didn't know what happened. He just felt the power going out of him. Hello? So that's the way we should be. We should go around, and suddenly, You know, we feel, oh, what's going on here? You look around and you see, oh, this person is sick. All right. In Jesus' name, be healed. I mean, he did that, expect us to do the same. That's why I'm doing the Thursday night. I want to see people starting to do that. Not in meetings. You know, you're going to get much better result on the street. Because they're not religious there. They probably don't know anything. And you're going to show them something. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, being, you know, this one of the chapters in the Bible that really talks about walking in the Spirit is Romans chapter 8. It's just about everything about walking in the Spirit. And I'm not going to read the whole Romans chapter 8, but I'm going to read some scripture from there. You know, starting from verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, but there's what it says, you know, for as many as are led, the tense in Greek, actually the implication means that as many as are continuously led by the Spirit of God, you know, regularly led by the Spirit of God. I mean, you know, according to some charismatic teaching, you know, you should be there praying all the time to get the direction. Jesus certainly didn't do that. He was more active than anything else. He wasn't waiting, you know, years to make a decision and then go ahead and say, okay, you know, I had to go in that place and heal that person. He went around and healed everybody. Good, bad, and ugly. It's true. I mean, you know, lepers. He didn't care. The point is, you see, this is the way we should act too. We shouldn't be there waiting. I know if the word says, you know, go and preach the gospel to every creature. What other direction do you need? Oh, but this is not my ministry. Well, get saved. Because if you are saved, it's your ministry. This is what is written for the believers. Hello? All right. Now, we have not finished there. You know, so we are the sons of God. That means, that if you are born again, you're a child of God, you're a son of God, then you should be able to be led by the Spirit continuously. That's the implication there. If you're born again, you should be not in condemnation. Why? Because you're doing the right thing. Not because, you know, you fool yourself about everything is fine. You still there? Good. All right, so let's continue here. You know, not just sometime we are the Son of God. We are the Son of God all the time if you're born again. So we all the time should be walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is life. Walking in the flesh is death. Choose. All right? So, verse 15 says, but did you not receive the spirit of bondage against to fear? See, this, what he's talking about here? Well, it's, you know, people are afraid of God. And so they just do something bad and they do what Adam did. That's what sinners do. They hide themselves because they found they're naked. I don't want anybody to see it. Well, that's not the solution. It's the opposite. We are not anymore with the spirit of bondage against to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father, which means Daddy. See, that's our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is that we are affectionately loving Him like, he's our daddy. So we are not afraid of him. We just run to him when we make a mistake or when something doesn't go the right way, because he's there to pat us on our head and to just keep us going. Are you still there? You see, people, Christians that have a problem with rejection, they have not come to this place. Because you cannot have a spirit of rejection in you if you have come into a spirit of adoption. I mean, the only thing that counts is what God thinks about you. So everybody can reject, you know, anybody can push you away, reject, you know, or criticize you or do anything. But, you know, if your Father in heaven approves of you, it doesn't fizz you up. You don't care at all. Okay? That's freedom. So you don't walk anymore to get approval of men. You don't walk anymore to get people to like you. Because otherwise you cannot do the things that you need to do. Jesus didn't do things to be pleased by pleasing people. People pleased are in bondage because they're afraid to be rejected. And so if we have any feeling of rejection inside us, some people reject themselves. So if you reject yourself, God doesn't reject you. Who are you? Better than God? So you had to accept yourself the way you are and the way God accepts you, because you are accepted in the beloved. So, just because of that, you should accept yourself and you should go from there, and you should allow, that thing to any rejection that you get from people just pass off on you and just don't touch you. Why? Because the Father accepts you and you are adopted as his son. Doesn't matter what, if you, are a woman or a man or a child or whatever it is. Hello? See, your identity, you are part of God's family. Your name is, God's name. He said, you will be my people and I will be your God. But it's not just your God, your God in the sense that, he's inside us, and so we are his children. We are part of his family. Our identity is not based on the things that we have done or the things even we do. Our identity is based on what Jesus did. So we don't look at ourselves anymore. You see, we don't look at ourselves in the flesh. We look at ourselves in the spirit. Hallelujah. You overcome. See, Jesus was an overcomer. Would you agree with that? I mean, people look at him as most of the people look at him in the cross. And in the cross doesn't look like too much of an overcomer. Okay, but that's what, and most believers don't even believe in the resurrection. So he's not an overcomer for them. But he was resurrected. And he's an overcomer. And he overcame for us. So we, if you are coming out of what he did, should be overcomers. The very moment when we are born again, we become overcomers. We don't need to wait to grow spiritually to become overcomer, because in that moment we overcame sin, which is the biggest thing. We had the biggest miracle that we can ever think, because we got the Spirit of God inside us that we see. Are you starting to grasp the magnitude of what God did when, just born again? I'm just born again. Absolutely. Hallelujah. All right. So, let me continue here. See, the very moment when that happens and we start connecting with God in that way, and our relationship with him is Daddy, Abba Father. Okay? Well, then verse 16 says, and the Spirit himself bear witness in our spirit, and we are the children of God. You see, there is an inner knowledge. Is that the thing that goes on all the time? That, yes, okay, we are His children. He is our daddy. And His awareness there, that's part of being led by the Spirit to move so that we don't move in our flesh, in our abilities, but we know that we move with the Spirit of God causing us to do the right thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is good news. Will you say? Well, it doesn't stop there. You see, that chapter is so filled with powerful revelation that when we, you know, we had to start meditating on this stuff and appropriating it, because otherwise it becomes just a Bible verse. See, we had to make Bible, you see, we had to become the Word made flesh. And the flesh, you know, our flesh is to be influenced and controlled by the Word. Amen. When we do that, our body gets well if we are sick. When we do that, we walk in victory instead of walking in defeat. When we do that, we are going to be overcoming sin and all the other things, and the things that happen around us don't affect us anymore. Amen. We become overcomers. Hallelujah. Verse 17. Just some more to get excited about. It said, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, you know what a joint heir is. It's the same thing, if you have a joint ownership of your house with your wife or your husband, that means that you don't own the house and she doesn't own you. You both own the whole thing. So that means if you are joint heir with Christ, everything that Christ has is ours. And everything that is ours is Christ. That's, it's too much to say. It's too much to even expect. It's, you go around say something like that and most of the people say, you're crazy. But that's what the Bible says, and we go by what the Bible, not by what we think or what they think. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And say, continue, indeed, if we suffer with Him, what we may also be glorified together. And He said, you see, you suffer, you had to suffer. What's He talking about? Jesus didn't suffer until the last moment. His suffering were all nothing else that He took our suffering so that we don't have to suffer. See, if we suffer, that means He wasted His time suffering for us. You see, there's a substitution work that took place on the cross, and so that we don't need to go through those things. What He suffered really is not what happened on the cross. It's the opposition of men. That's what He suffered. It's what the flesh. And this is what talking about here is, that we have to struggle against the things of the flesh that are around us and in us, and we have to push them, those things away. Amen. Jesus came to take away our pains, our sicknesses, our anguish, and everything else. In our spirit, our sins, in our mind, our sorrows and our pain, our sufferings, and in our body, our sickness and our disease and our pain. So that we can walk free. He took the whole thing off and thought, this is finished and is mine. So we had to let go of them. Hallelujah. See, the whole thing that Romans 8 is all about is walking in the Spirit. The struggle and the suffering we do is against the flesh. Hallelujah. Okay, so verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that we shall receive, revealed, shall be revealed in us. Now, with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What is he talking about? What's going to happen when we are in heaven? I see some people are smart enough to see that. He's talking, you see, that's what generally people think. He's not talking about, it's revealed. Where is revealed? It's revealed right here when we are going to be manifested as the sons of God. When we start walking the way Jesus walked. See, that's when, otherwise you don't need revelation up there. I mean, you are naturally what you are, but here is revealed, is disclosed, is opened up, and everybody can see it. This is what he's talking about in Romans chapter 8. Says, you know, if you read the following verse, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of what? The sons of God. You see, that revelation that he's talking about here is really what is meaning, and this is really nothing else that we starting walking in the Spirit all the time as the Spirit guides us and enables us to do the things that are doing, you know, and we fight against the things of the flesh, and we choose to walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh, and we renew our mind with the Word of God so that our mind is renewed and we naturally don't have any more the struggle anymore to fight against the flesh. We walk in the Spirit and we become the Word make flesh in ourselves. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't you think that these scriptures are really turning you on? It does to me, sorry, but it certainly does. Hallelujah. So, we don't have any more time. I wanted to talk about the glory revealed. When and how and so on, but we started to touch the topic. So, we're going to talk about it next week. Amen. Do you think that this is... This is an important thing to understand so that we can start cooperating. You see, God wants us to cooperate with Him. You know, it's not that He imposes on us. He's guiding us. You see, what He's doing from the inside. If you are born again, the inside, the Spirit of God is guiding you and directing you and witness to you that the things that we are sharing are true and that's what the Bible says. Victory. Can you say victory?
Victory?
See, that's what we have. That's what we have. That's what God wants us to have. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we can make a little confession today. What about? Close with that. Okay. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You just repeat after me and just let the Spirit of God motivate you, empower you, strengthen you as you say it. Thank you, Father, for your love and sending Jesus for pay for my sin and take my diseases. I'm born again, not of flesh or of man, but of God. I am born of God. I am your child. I'm not your servant. I am a son. Because I'm accepted in the Beloved. And I belong to God's family. You have given me a new heart and a new spirit. A heart to love you. I receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit witness in me that I am a child of God. I received the Spirit of adoption by which I call you Abba Father. I call you Daddy, my Daddy. You put the Holy Spirit in me to dwell in me. He guides me into all truth. I am a new creation. all things have passed away. All things are of God. I'm not carnal. I'm spiritual. My identity and faith are in Christ, not in what I have done or what I do, but in what Jesus did. I have the spirit of faith, and I speak by the spirit of faith. Greater is he who is in me than the one that is in the world. I'm an overcomer because Jesus overcame the world. I forget not all his benefits. You forgive all my iniquities. You heal all my diseases. You renew my life like the eagle and crown me with loving kindness. And I praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. He has given us so much that if we just understand it and go with it, nobody can stop us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.